Let's learn. We are in Parshas Bo. So what I'd like to share are two completely separate and unrelated issues, problems, questions that come out of our Parsha, Parshas Bo. They will be, again, on two separate tracks, but each issue will then reflect and shed light on each other in what I hope will be a beautiful way, as the Rosh Hashiva Chaim Yaakov Goldberg brings out. Again, just a word for those who are new to the series. The Torah that I'm sharing is from my Rosh Hashiva from Keren B'Yavne, Chaim Yaakov Goldberg. It is, I would say, 98% of what's being presented tonight is all his, with a few little addendums along the way, but it's basically all his thoughts. Let's jump right in with our opening psukim of this week. Now, the opening psukim are actually from the end of this week's parsha, and that is, click, read, sorry. Is that better? Okay, I hope so. Okay. All right, here we go. Torah describes as follows. Let's just set the context for this first series of psukim. Again, these are the very last bit of our parsha. What's already happened in our parsha are plagues number 8, 9, and 10. The last plague, Makos Bechoros, already happened. The Egyptians already woke up in the middle of the night with screams in every home throughout Mitzrayim. They came pounding down the Jews' door, and Paro said, finally, get out. And then the Jews left. They were given the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, which they already had done. They baked their dough, and it turned into matzah. The Torah said they were there for 430 years, as we're going to learn that again in a few moments, a little bit later. And they left Mitzrayim. That is the context, what happens throughout all of the parsha. And the psukim that we are now going to read are the first words that Moshe speaks to the people after they left. The first thing that he has to say to them, now that they've experienced this enormous night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he says as follows, Vayomer Moshe el ha'om, zachor es hayom hazeh asher yatzasam mi Mitzrayim. Remember this day, he says. This night is going to be like unlike any other night. Remember it, that you left Mitzrayim ve'es avadim, ki b'chozek yad Yetzias Mitzrayim mizeh, ve'lo ye'achel chametz. Hashem took you out. Do not eat any chametz. Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh ha'aviv. Today, you are leaving b'chodesh ha'aviv. We know that it was Nisan. Nisan is springtime. Moshe tells the people, remember this day. And look, today is the Chodesh Ha'aviv. It is the month of the spring. And then the next series of psukim describes psukim that we're familiar with. It will be that you will come to the land that Hashem will give you. Va'avadutas avodah hazos. You will complete the service of the Karban Pesach. Shivas yamim tochal matzah. 7 days you'll eat matzah. It will be a yantiv on the back half of the seventh day. And then Vigadat Lebincha, the Torah concludes this series. Vigadat Lebincha, Moshe, you will tell your children, Vayomazeh, Ba'avorzeh, Asa Hashem Li, Betzeisi Mim Mitzrayim. This pasuk, this series of psukim, which Moshe says to remember this day that you left Mitzrayim, is a very significant pasuk. Out of all the psukim that we have about the story, the exodus from Mitzrayim, this is the pasuk that teaches us the mitzvah of actually telling this story. As the Rambam writes in his Mishneh Torah, mitzvah saseh, in source number 2, mitzvah saseh shel Torah l'saper b'nisim v'niflo shenasu l'avosein b'mitzrayim. It's a mitzvah to tell the story, as we know every year from the Pesach Seder, the nisim v'niflos, the miracles, the wonders that Hashem did b'leil chamisha asar b'nisan, on the 15th night of Nisan. Tell the story. Where do we know that story? Where's the mitzvah? Shene'emar, Zachores Hayom Hazeh Asher Yatzasam Mi Mitzrayim. Says the Rambam, this pasuk that Moshe says his first words as they leave Mitzrayim to the people to remember, that is our source of telling the story on the Leil Seder. Just like the Rambam says, Zachores Yom HaShabbos, you have to remember Shabbos, talk about Shabbos, you have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we do it on the 15th every night. And how do we know that it's specifically that night? Because of the last pasuk that we read, V'gadat Lebincha Bayom Ha'hu Leimor, on that day, on the day that you have matzah and maror and the afilu chachamim gedolim, the Rambam concludes like we're familiar, no matter how great you are, no matter how much you know this story, this is the night to tell it as well. Rashi also points out from this pasuk of Zachoras Hayom Hazeh, Rashi says, Limeid, Shemaskir, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Bechol Yom. Not only do we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim when we have the mitzvah at the Seder to tell over this story, but every day, as we do, both in the morning Shema, and we add the third paragraph in the Shema at night as well, because it mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have a mitzvah to remember Shema every morning and every night, as Rashi says, Zachoras Hayom Hazeh, this day, every day, morning and night, all comes from this pasuk. I mention that to show that the context of this pasuk is telling the story. Now, within that, the second pasuk that we read is quite an odd pasuk. And pasuk Dalet, as I bolded in your sheets, Hayom Atem Yotzim B'chodesh Ha'aviv. Within this context, this mitzvah of telling over the story, the Torah says, Moshe says to the people, today you're leaving B'chodesh Ha'aviv. What is the purpose of that pasuk in this context to tell the people that they're leaving? Look around, it's Chodesh Ha'aviv. Why is that relevant? Not only is it a question of why is it relevant, but as Rashi asks the question here in source number 3, Rashi says, V'chilo hayinu yodim be'ezah chodesh. They didn't know what month they were leaving, that Moshe has to tell them, today you're leaving b'chodesh ha'aviv. Elakach amar lehem, Moshe says, Rashi explains, Moshe is telling to the people, Re'u chesed shegimalchem. Look at the kindness that Hashem has done to you. Shehotzi eschem b'chodesh shehu kosher lotzeis. He's taken you out in a month that is so perfect to leave. Lo chama, it's not too hot. Velo tzina, it's not too cold. Velo gishamim, it's not with rain. V'chein hu omer, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, motzi asirim b'kosh sharos, the pasuk in Tehillim is referring to Hashem takes out those who are bound with chains. And the Gemara darshins, kosharot chodesh shuhu kosher latzeis. That look, Hashem took you out in a month that's so perfect to go out. So that we read the pasuk, Chazal tell us, here's our medrash for the night. When you tell the story, this is again in the context of Zochor Hayom Hazeh, remember this day, tell your children, tell your grandchildren, every year this is the story, and tell them that it was in Nisan. And what's the big deal? That was, weather was perfect. And here you have to say, A, as Rashi points out, we know that. But B, what is the significance to a people that have been in servitude for 210 years and now they're going free? Let's imagine for a moment that instead of leaving in Nisan, they left 3 months later and it was really hot outside. Or they left 8 months later when it was cold. And instead of just packing up their bags and leaving, they had to spend an extra 3 minutes putting the kids into snowsuits. They had to put boots on because it was raining. Or they had to pack extra water bottles because it was hot. Would that have changed the story at all? Would it have made a difference in the way that we would recall Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we were slaves and the terrible things that were done to us, and then the Makos, and Hashem revealed himself and he took us out? Would it have even been mentioned that when we left, what month it was? It's an irrelevant detail. People who were slaves wouldn't care for a moment if it would have been a little hot or a little cold or a little rainy. Freedom is what this night is about, and freedom is what they achieved. And Moshe tells the people, in the context of the mitzvah of remember this, look, you have to tell this as part of the story. You must mention it. It was Chodesh Ha'aviv. Now, this is not the mitzvah to make sure that Pesach is always celebrated in springtime. That's a different pasuk that says, Ushmartem as Chodesh Ha'aviv. We have a separate mitzvah to make sure that the calendar always reflects that it's springtime. This is a different mitzvah that says, when you sit at your Pesach Seder table and you're telling the story, you must mention that it was springtime. It wasn't hot, it wasn't cold, it wasn't rainy. Ah, it was a geschmack when we left Mitzrayim. Look at the chesed that Hashem did. And this begs the question, why is that such a significant part of the story, which we would have otherwise not even paid attention to, that it has to be mentioned and that Moshe points out, look, Ru'u! Hayom atem yatzasem v'chodesh ha'aviv. Let's put that question on ice for a moment. Pun intended. Put the question on the side for a moment, and let's address the second problem that our parsha addresses, which we referenced a few moments ago, and that is, how long were the Jews in Mitzrayim for? How long was this servitude? How long did it last? And here we have a number of dates, a number of years that are often thrown around that require us to try to figure out exactly how long this was. And it starts with the Bris Bein HaBesarim, the first time that Hashem makes a covenant with Avram, at which point he tells him there's going to be trouble down the road. And the pasuk reads in In Perek Tetzvav and Sefer Bereishis, source number 4, Vayomer LaAvram Yadoa Teida Ki Ger Yeh Zaracha Ba'aretz Lo Be'aretz Lo Lehem. You need to know that your children will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. Va'avadum Ve'inu Osam Arba Me'os Shanan. Hashem promises Avraham they're going to be enslaved, they're going to be afflicted, and it is going to be for 400 years. Ve'gam Esagoy Asher Yavodu Don Anochi, then I will judge that nation that puts them into that servitude. And then after that, after 400 years, after I judge that nation, then they will leave with great wealth. So that we are, the first time we meet up with this concept of the servitude and affliction, Hashem gives us a number. He says, it's going to be for 400 years. Well, you fast forward, we're in our parsha, we go through, as I mentioned, plagues 8, 9, and 10. After the 10th, the Egyptians pound down their doors, they leave, they bake their dough into matzah, they're on their way out, and then the Torah summarizes their stay for how long it's been. And the Torah says, in source number 5, they bake the dough that they took out of Mitzrayim, ugot matzot, into these matzahs, kilo chametz, it didn't have chance to leaven, ki garshumi Mitzrayim, v'lo yechulis mameah, they were kicked out so fast there wasn't time to delay, v'gam seydelo asulam, they didn't have any provisions, no food. And then the Torah highlights, Umoshav b'nei Yisrael asher yashuv b'mitzrayim, shloshim shana ve'arba me'os shana. They were there for 430 years. And then the Torah repeats, Vayehim mikeit shloshim shana ve'arba me'os shana. And it was at the end of 430 years, Vayi be'etzem ayom hazeh, on this very day, Yatzu'u kol tzvos, Tzivos Hashem Eretz Mitzrayim. That's the day that we left. Leil Shimurim Hula Hashem. This was the day that was guarded by Hashem. Lehotziem Eretz Mitzrayim. Hu alayla zel Hashem Shimurim L'chol B'nei Yisrael L'dorosam. This is the night that will then be guarded for all B'nei Yisrael, for all generations. Rashi points out these two words, Shimurim, have different meanings. When we say it was a Leil Shimurim for Hashem, that means, as Rashi says, Rashi points out this was the night Hashem was waiting for, yearning for. When will be the night that I'll be able to fulfill my promise to Avram? He was waiting, yearning, looking forward, like Va'aviv Shamares Hadavar, like Yaakov waited for Yosef's dream to be fulfilled. Hashem waited. It's a Leil Shimurim for us, meaning we're protected from Mazikim. It's a night that we are guarded and protected. To Hashem, it meant that he was yearning and waiting for it, and it's a Leil Shimurim for us. Rashi points out, as well, Vayiba etzem ayom hazeh, shekevan shegia haketz lo ichvan hamakom keheref. Once the time came, Hashem did not delay, not even a moment. Tesvav Nisan bo malachei asharis etzel Avram lebasar. It was on the 15th of Nisan that the malachim came to Avram to tell him he was going to have a son. Tesvav v'nisan nolad Yitzchak. A year later, on the 15th of Nisan, Yitzchak was born. And Tesvav v'nisan nigzer gzeres bein abasam. That was the time of the gzeres, that we will be taken out. And now the time had come, and he took us out on the 15th of Nisan. Now the problem that we need to address as we started is, well, how long were they there for? The promise given to Avram was 400 years. The Torah actually says they were there for 430 years. But the real problem is, as Rashi calculates, there's no way they were there for 430 years. There wasn't enough time. You can count up the ages. We know that Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. His sons went down. They died there. We know that Yaakov had sons, Levi, and has a grandson, Amram, who has a son, Moshe, who's 80 years old when he shows up before Pa. There are not 400 years, Rashi calculates, to count. And when you actually calculate it, they're actually only there 210. So what do we do with all of these numbers that they were promised to be there for 400? They were really only there for 210. And then the Torah says they were there for 430. They weren't there for 430. They were there for 210. And where does the number 430 come from anyway, when Hashem only said it was going to be 400? This is an issue that's addressed by all the Mefarshim. What are all these numbers and what do they represent? I want to work through the approach of the Ramban. before we get to the Ramban, you can't deal with this without learning Rashi as well, though we're going to go with a different approach to the Ramban, but we have to share Rashi's approach because when you learn Chumash, you have to learn it with Rashi as well. It's Rashi is Rabban Shel Yisrael. So let's learn Rashi's approach, and then we'll tackle the Ramban. Rashi's approach is as follows. The numbers that we're dealing with, 430, 400, and 210, all represent different things, and it starts with the Bris Bein Abasarim, the promise that Hashem made to Avraham when he said, your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. The issue, Rashi says, is when Hashem made that promise to Avraham, your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs, Avraham didn't have any children at that point. That's before he's told that he's going to have a son, Yitzchak. It's before Yitzchak, is way before that. In fact, says Rashi, it's 30 years before Yitzchak is actually born. So at the time the promise is made to Avram, 30 years go by until Yitzchak is born. When Yitzchak is born, now we can start counting the promise of your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. Since Yitzchak is born, even though he's born in the land of Canaan, which would become Eretz Yisrael, but Avram wasn't in control of the land, he was just a visitor there at the time, we can start the count with the birth of Yitzchak of your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. So from the time of Yitzchak until they leave Mitzrayim, is actually 400 years, 210 of which they were actually in Mitzrayim. The other 190 are from the birth of Yitzchak until they leave Mitzrayim. Why does the Torah say 430? 430 represents from the promise that was given to Avram at the Bris Bein HaBesarim. That was 430 years. 30 years pass until the birth of Yitzchak, 400 years then from Yitzchak until they leave, 210 that they're actually in Mitzrayim, and that is how the numbers work out. As Rashi says, Shloshim Shana V'Arba Me'o Shana, in source number 5 in front of you, Bein Hakol, meaning 430, Rashi says, not in Mitzrayim, 430 represents the sum total. Mishinolad Yitzchak Adi Achsha, from the birth of Yitzchak until now, the night they leave, Hayu Arba Meos, that's 400. Mishahayelo Zerla Avram Niskayim Bo Kiger Yezera, because only when Yitzchak is born can we start counting your children will be a stranger. Ushoshim Shana Hayu Mishinig Zeragze, and it was 30 years prior that the decree was given to Avram. That is how Rashi learns and understands those numbers. The Ramban does not like that approach for various reasons, which he goes through based on Psukim, and he understands, he actually quotes two or three various approaches to try to address all these numbers, and he settles on the following as his understanding of what the Torah is coming to teach us. V'odani omer ki apshat ha-mechuver min ha-kol hu as follows. The most appropriate understanding of this is as follows, and the Ramban says, ki agzeiraisa arba me'oshana min hayom ahu. If Hashem makes a promise of 400 years, that's what the gzera was supposed to be. You're going to be strangers for 400 years, and it began at the moment that Hashem said it to Avram, which again is 30 years prior to Yitzchak's birth, but we start the count of 400 at the moment that Hashem says the promise. That's when the count begins. That means that they ended up in Mitzrayim 30 extra years beyond what the promise of Hashem was going to be. Says the Ramban, Vashloshim Shana Ha'elu, these additional 30 years, Heim Toisefes Aleihem Ba'avon Hador Ahu. These additional 30 years were added on to the affliction and the servitude and the pain and the suffering in Mitzrayim as a punishment for the sin of the generation of the Jews in Mitzrayim, and because of their inappropriate behaviors in Mitzrayim, there was an additional 30 years added to the gzera upon them of 400, but they didn't get to leave after 400. They weren't ready to leave. And therefore, there was it was extended for the extra 30. The Ramban explains, She'ein on shoharishon haftachalo shelo yeyonash ba'avon she'yase. The fact that Hashem said 400, that wasn't a guarantee that says, and no more, maybe you'll continue doing bad things. The 400 was, minimally, you're going to have 400 years from this day on until it's time to come home. I'm not promising that they're going to behave the whole time. If they don't behave, it's going to go longer. Just like the Jews ended up in the desert for 40 years. That wasn't supposed to happen. That was a result of our behaviors. We're still in exile 2,000 years. How long is this supposed to be? Until we're ready to go home, we're not going to go home. So the 30 years were a result of their behavior. Vihine, says the Ramban, Hayal Avram Avinu Gzerish Yezaru Ger Baretz Lolem Arba. For 400 years was the Gzerah to Avram. Vishalo Yashuvu Ador Revi Kilo Shalem Avonim. Until the Avon, the sin of the Amori and Canaan were fulfilled. The only promise was, at some point after 400, you'll get great wealth on the way out. Maybe right away at 400, maybe sometime after. Where does the Ramban get this idea that there should be an additional 30 years of punishment because of the behavior of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim? Says the Ramban, Umin hayadua, Shehayu Yisrael b'Mitzrayim ra'im v'chata'im me'od. You'll be excused for rubbing your ears and saying, what? Says the Ramban, it is well known that the Jews in Mitzrayim were ra'im v'chata'im me'od, were evil and sinners in an exceeding manner. What is he referring to? Says the Ramban, let's just take this next line, then we're going to bring some other sources. Ubitlu gam hamila. Number one, besides for that they were royim and chatoim, they were mevatel, they nullified the mitzvah of bris mila that Hashem had given to Avram, which had been passed down to Yitzchak and to Yaakov. Ves gelule mitzrayim lo azvu, and they never forsake the idolatrous practices of the Egyptians. They didn't give their children a bris mila, and they were involved in avodah zarah. Where do we see this idea? Now, besides for the fact is it's well known that they were in the Mem Tet Shari Tumah, they were in the 49th level of impurity, they had sunk to such a deep, low level, the Ramban has specific examples that they were not giving their children bris milah, and they were idolaters. Where do we see that? So let's just put a pause on the Ramban for a moment and take a look at some other sources that we see which address this issue of how to relate to the Jews in Mitzrayim. Let's start with a Rashi. This is in our parsha as well. We got a lot of sources from right within our own parsha. The Torah says when Hashem teaches Moshe about the Korban Pesach, they should take the set, the lamb, and they're going to tie it to their posts for 4 days, which is a unique halacha. Only in Mitzrayim are they required to do so. And it should be v'hayolachem l'mishmeres. The Torah says you should watch it for 4 days. Rashi says, what does that mean that you should watch the lamb for 4 days? The lashon bikur, to search it out. Shetaun bikur mimum arba yamim kodem shchita. For 4 days, check out the lamb. Make sure there's no blemish in the animal before we slaughter it. This is the only Pesach where they needed to do that. Every other Korban Pesach, you could show up in your Shalai and buy yourself a lamb and bring it as a Korban. You don't have to buy it 4 days in advance and check it out and search it. So the Gemara, Rashi quotes the Gemara, which says, in the name of Amasya ben Charash, because it says, Ve'evor alayich ve'erech v'irei itech es dodim. The Pasuk in Yechezkel, we darshan this at the Pesach Haggadah of the Seder. I passed over you. I'm ready to take you out. I looked at you, and the time had come. Rashi explains the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Higiyo shvuo shenishbati lavram she'egal es banav. The time came to fulfill the promise that I made to Avram to redeem his sons. But they had no mitzvahs in their hands to be osek and to be toil. They had no merit. They had nothing to do. They had no ability for me to take them out. They had no mitzvahs. Shene'emar va'at erom ve'erya. You were naked and bare. So what does Hashem do? Nasan lahem shtei mitzvos. He gave them two mitzvos. Dam Pesach v'dam mila. He gave him the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, which we're familiar, and the mitzvah of Dam Mila. The Dam, the blood from Bris Mila. Shemalu ba'oso halayla. That all the Jews gave themselves a Bris Mila on that night. Shene emar misboisesas bidamayach. That you were in your blood. And the Lashon bidamayach is a plural bishnei damim, in two bloods. So that was the two bloods, the mitzvah, why they need to give themselves a bris milah? What do you see from this as well? Not only did they have nothing to be able to merit being taken out, but they needed to do a bris milah. Clearly, as the Ramban is alluding to, they had not fulfilled the mitzvah of bris milah. In the years of slavery, they had left aside the mitzvah of bris milah. And Rashi says, to conclude, if you show your shtufen be'alilim, since they were steeped in idolatry, Amar lahem, mishchu u'kuchu lachem. Pull for yourself a lamb. What's the language of pull and take for yourself a land, meaning mishchu yedeichem, pull yourself away from idolatrous practices, ukchu lechem tzon shel mitzvah, and instead take for yourself a lamb of mitzvah. So within this Rashi of how do you get yourself ready for the Korban Pesach, A, you need to do a bris milah, and you need to get rid of avodah zarah, get rid of all the idolatrous practices that you're doing. Take a lamb and be ready to use it for Hashem instead. So Rashi himself notes this, and Rabban says it was Yadua. They had gone away from Mila. They were involved in idolatry. Not only do we see that there as well, but in next week's Parsha, when they're at the edge of the Yamsuf and the Mitzrim are following behind them, pursuing them, and the Jews are afraid. So Hashem says, just travel, go into the sea. The Pasuk describes Vayisam Malach Elokim Haolech Lefnei Machane Yisrael. So, to protect the Jews from the oncoming Egyptians, the Malach Elokim, the angel of Hashem, which had been in front of them, traveled to the back of them in order to protect them from the arrows that were being shot at them from the Egyptian army, so that you now had this angel of Hashem protecting the Jews and separating them from the Egyptians. Rashi notes the language Malach Elokim as a protective angel is a strange language. The word Elokim is a language of judgment, of din. It should be a Malach Hashem, which is a Malach of Rachamim. Why does the Torah use the language that it's a Malach of Elokim? So Rashi points out, B'chol Makom Hu Omer Malach Hashem. Normally we see whenever the Torah describes such a Malach, it's a Malach of Hashem, not a Malach of Elokim. Ein Elokim B'chol Makom El Adayin Milamed. This teaches us, as Rashi, Shoyu Yisrael Nisunim Bedin Ba'usosha. There was a judgment in that moment between the Malachim up in Shemayim, Im Lihi Natzel, Im lehei oved im Mitzrayim. Should the Jews be saved in the sea, or should they be lost together with the Egyptians? There was a judgment. There's a Rashi in Chumash. There was a judgment in that moment of whether or not they should be taken down with the Egyptians, or whether or not they should be spared. Why should they be taken down with the Egyptians? So the Yalkut Reuveni, a different Medrash, quotes, because the Malachim said, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, for Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, these are idolaters, Madu Atar Matzilas Yisrael, Matbias HaMitzrim Biyam, why are these being saved with a miracle, and these are being drowned? They're the same, they both practice the same, what's this one better than that? So there was a judgment, and a Malach Elokim, Hashem rules, I'm going to save them. Were they worthy? Did they deserve it? Were they displaying themselves to be children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? There's room, says the Ramban, as Rashi and the Midrashim, they were idolatrous, they weren't doing bris milah, as the Ramban's language, they were chata'im v'ra'im me'od. And therefore there was this type of judgment to see what should be with them. Back to the Ramban. So where did these extra 30 years come from? So there was a 30-year period for this. V'al kein orach galusim shloshim shana. That's why there was these extra 30 years. V'hayoroi sheyisarech yoiser. The real truth, says the Ramban, is it should be longer. Why magically 30 years? It should have been longer. Ela shetzaku v'hirbu tfila. The reason why the exile of Mitzrayim ended when it did is because the Jewish people called out, they cried in tefillah, they davened, they were in pain, and Hashem heard our cries. As the Ramban explains, v'zeh tam, and this is why you will see, here's another major question when you read through Yetzias Mitzrayim, there are so many psukim which describe that Hashem says, I heard your cry, you davened to me, I took you out because you couldn't take it, and all of these ones, we're going to see them in a moment. Why does Hashem keep mentioning that if there was a promise to take him out, the time came, he took us out? Says Ramban, I'll tell you why there's so many of those psukim. Listen, I want to read you his lines and stuff, because this is the Ramban. That's why the Torah says in one pasuk, they groaned from their servitude. They called out, they cried out. And their cries went up to Shemayim. And then another pasuk, Hashem heard their affliction. Another pasuk, the cries of the Jewish people have come to me. When we tell the story over and we bring the Bikurim and we called out to Hashem, Hashem heard our voices. He saw our affliction, and our toils, and our burdens. Why are there so many psukim that describe that Hashem heard our cries, that He saw our affliction. He promised Avram, and now it's time to go. Why such a stress on this? Says the Ramban, this is an amazing line. Ki lo hayu ru'uyin lihigael mipnei haketz sheba. Because the time came and they weren't ready. They weren't deserving of being redeemed. Ella shekibel tzaakasam v'naakasam mipnei hatzar hagodol shehayubo. But Hashem heard their cries. He saw their pain and He took them out. We were beyond the time. It was already 30 additional years and it would have gone longer. But they called out. And when they called out, Hashem heard our cries, Kasher Pirashti, as I've already explained. Let's check out, where did the Ramban already say that? That is in source number 9 here. Ve'he'erich ha'kosev lahazker ta'anos rabos b'gu'ulasam. The Torah gives so many different reasons for our redemption. Vayishmo lokim es nakosam, vayiskor lokim es briso. Hashem heard, He remembered, vayara lokim, He saw, vayeder lokim, He understood, ki yadati es machoivav, I understand your affliction. Ki afal pishin ishalim azman shenigzer aleihem, even though the time had been concluded to be redeemed, lo hayu ru'uyin lihigoyal. They were not right, they were not fit. You were naked and bare. You were naked of mitzvahs. Now Rashi explained that therefore Hashem gave us two mitzvahs to be busy with. He gave us the mitzvah Mila, gave us the mitzvah of Dan Pesach. Ramban learns, Ela mipnei hatza'aka, but because we called out, kibel tfilosom birachamav. With rachamim, He heard our tefillah. This is an amazing idea. I just want to add one last point. The Ramban points out, there's a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin that says that the Bnei Ephraim left 30 years before Moshe returned from Midian. Moshe's gone 60 years from the time that he leaves after killing the Egyptian until he returns. It's literally 60, almost 70 years that he's gone. The Gemara says that the Bnei Ephraim, 30 years before Moshe shows up, left in an attempt to free themselves from Mitzrayim, and they were cut down. Says the Ramban, why did they leave? The Ramban says, because heimanu velotau, they cheshbened out. They counted 400 years from the time that Hashem made the promise, and exactly 400 years later, they said it's up. So they tried to leave. However, they didn't understand that they weren't roi, they weren't worthy, and therefore there was an extension on the affliction. Hashem should forgive them for all their mistakes, but that's why there's such a medrash that the Bnei Menashe left Mitzrayim early trying to get out, because they calculated 400 years, not understanding 400 was a minimum, but it wasn't an end if you're not ready to go. Now, with this Ramban, that they were busy, they didn't have Mila, they were busy with idolatry, they were on the Memtet Shari Tuva, they were on the 49th level of Tumah, they were as low can be, they weren't fit, but they called out. There's a pen. Now the Ramban understands this, I didn't go through this in depth, but the Ramban writes, the power of tefillah, the ability of a Jew, of the Jewish people as a whole, to call out and to daven, literally brought the geula. When we talk about the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, a central piece that needs to be told is, it was our tefillah that brought us, that we weren't ready. And it would have lasted longer. But it was the cries of the Jewish people that Hashem heard, and that's why the Torah stresses that over and over and over again. And in the words of the Ramban, Birachamim, with his mercy, He took us out when the time on that night, which was, it could have gone longer, but that was the night that He took us out. Rosh Hashiva explains as follows, going back to our two issues that we have. There are two words which we very often combine together, but are very different. The idea of rachamim, which is mercy, and chesed, which is kindness. And often, they look the same. The behavior of a person who's acting with chesed and the behavior of a person who's acting with rachamim looks the same, but they're fundamentally different. Rachamim, of course, would mean mercy, and chesed is kindness. What do I mean when we say they look the same, but we often confuse them? We'll give a simple example. What would you say, which trait is it, if you're walking down the street and there's a poor person on the side of the road with a cup in their hand, and you walk by, you see them, you reach into your pocket and you put a dollar in their cup. Is that an act of chesed, or is that an act of rachamim? Now, you're all on mute, so I can't hear you. But if you think about that, it's really rachamim. I have mercy. I feel bad for the situation, so I gave him a dollar. It's not an act of chesed. If it was real chesed, maybe you'd give him more than a dollar. But you give him a dollar, and it's an act of rachamim. What about another example? Let's say you're driving, and it's raining or snowing, whichever the case may be, wherever you may live, and you see someone walking who wasn't expecting the weather that they have. It's freezing, it's wet, it's cold. So you stop and you offer them a ride, and they're going someplace that you're not going, and you take them, and not only do you take them nearby, you literally take them all the way to the address that they're going. Is that, would you say, what a nice chesed you did? Or would we say, that was an act of rachamim that we did? What defines, now we'd use the word, ah, oh, what a chesed. Is that a chesed, or is that rachamim? Or, let's say you're just sitting at home on a Thursday night and you get a call in an era where we used to be allowed to have guests in our home. It should happen again, Mirtz Hashem, soon in good health for everyone. And a friend says, I'm making, not such a friend, it's on the outer periphery of your social circle, making a simcha, bar mitzvah, an ofra, whatever the case may be. I had a cancellation. My second cousin, once removed, is coming with her whole family of 6 kids. Can you host them for Shabbos? And you say, Thursday night, fine. Happy to. I'll do it. And you do it with a smile. Is that an act of chesed, or is that an act of rachamim? Now, when we define this, the defining characteristic, both Rosh Shiva speaks about this as well as Rav Dessler speaks about this as well as Michtam Elio, is the difference between rachamim and chesed is where the inspiration or the impetus for the act comes from. Rachamim comes from an external act. An external source, I should say. Meaning, there's something happening in the world around you that has now entered into your world, and as it does, it forces a reaction from you. You see something that needs to be addressed, and when that need enters into your world, you respond appropriately. That's the midah of rachamim. Chesed is an act that's not precipitated by something else that causes or forces you to react, either appropriately or inappropriately, but it forces you to react. Chesed is an act that comes from within the desire to give, not because there was a problem in front of you that needs to be solved, but because there's a desire innately from internally, from within the person, to be able to do acts of kindness. Now we see that these are two separate traits. The Gemara Maseches Yevamah says, Shlosha Simanim Yesh Ba'umazu. Klal Yisrael is defined by having 3 traits. Harachmanim, we are rachamim. We are baishanim. Baishanim is not that we're embarrassed, it's that we have shame. You know, there was a book, a famous book that went around recently. Why doesn't anybody blush anymore? What happened to people being ashamed of certain things, to do certain things, to say certain things, to act in a certain way? So Klal Yisrael is defined, we're rachmanim. We have mercy on people. We're baishanim. We have shame. We act in a certain way because we don't want to do certain things. We still have that internal sense of shame. V'gom lechasodim, and we do acts of kindness. Now, there are 2 separate traits. The traits of being a rachamim and being a goyim el chesed. It's not coming from the same place. They're 2 separate ideas, which we also see in Hashem himself. The Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chan. And he's a rachum. He's also a chan, and he's erech haba, v'rav chesed. 2 separate traits, to be one of rav chesed and to be a racham. Now, this is expressed from, of course, the isha chesed of Avraham. There's an avos Reb Nosson. Reb Dressler brings this avos Reb Nosson, amazing description of Avraham. The Medrash is discussing Eov. Eov, of course, Job, the biblical character who suffered terribly, and the Medrash describes that he was a tremendous person of kindness, and the Medrash gives all sorts of examples of his kindness, and then the Medrash concludes as follows, Afal Pichen, even though you are a tremendous person of kindness, Iyov, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Iyov, Hashem says to him, Adayin lo igata lechatzi shir shal, you are nothing compared to Avraham. Your kindness is nice, but it's not like Avraham's. Ata, the Medrash says, Yoshev v'shoyha b'teich beischa v'orchi nichnasin etzloch. You sit in your house and wait for guests to come. And then when they're brought into your house, Eshidarko lecho paschitim, those who are accustomed to eating fine bread, he'echiloso paschitim, you give him the fine bread. Those who are not accustomed to that type of bread, you give him the lesko, whatever they're used to. But if they're used to the good stuff, you give him the good stuff. Eshidarko lecho basar, those who are accustomed to eating fine meats, he'echiloso basar, you give them what they're accustomed to. You serve them the finest meats. Eshidarko lishtos yayin, and those who are nice fine wines, you give them fine wines. That's your trait, Eov. You sit in your house and wait for them to come, and you give them what they're accustomed to. Aval Avraham lo asa. Okay, that's not the trait of an Avram Avinu. Ele yoishev umehader ba'olam. He goes out to the world looking for guests. Uchesheyimtza orchin, he finds them, he brings them home. Et she'ein darko le'echol paschitin he'echilehu paschitin. Those who are not used to the finest breads, he gives the finest breads. Et she'ein darko le'echol basar. Those who are not used to eating fine meats, he feeds fine meats. And those not used to fancy wines, he gives wine. What is the difference in that? Eov sees a problem. You're used to good bread. I'm not going to feed you quality bread that you're not accustomed to. That's not nice. I'll give you what you're used to. But if you're only used to eating poor quality, you don't even know what you're missing. Why should I give you the good stuff? You don't know the difference. That, Hashem says to Eov, is a level. Halavai, we should all be at that level. But it's a level of solving a problem that's in front of you. You're used to this. I want to give you what you're used to. Avram doesn't have a problem to solve. The guy's only used to poor quality bread. He gives him what he's not used to. Because it's not about taking care of the problem that you have. I want to give you the best that I have to offer. And if the best is something you don't even know exists, I don't care that you didn't even know it exists, and you might not even appreciate it. I have to give you the best that I can, which is demonstrated by Avram going out to find them, not waiting for it to come. That's rachamim. I see a person holding a cup on a street. So why do I give him a dollar? Because it's staring me in the face that there's a guy on the street with a cup in his hand. I feel terrible. Yeah, I feel terrible, so I give him a dollar. It's rachamim, it's mercy. It's almost as much for me as it is for him. Somebody call. I see a person walking without an umbrella. It's raining, it's snowing, it's cold. Terrible. Let me help. Halavai, we should always be rachmanim. We should always do that. But our act was inspired by the need that's in front of us. Somebody calls and says, can you host my cousin? Yes, of course I'll host. Chesed is calling a Baal Simcha beforehand and saying, can I host for you? Before they even thought about making a list. I want to help. You might not even know that you have a need yet. I'm already there because I want to do the kindness. That's the difference to the Midah of Chesed. It manifests itself as well in what happens when it doesn't work. I've said this example many times before. I'll repeat it again. The first pasuk in Parshas Vayera, Hashem appears to Avram in Elonei Mamre. He was sitting kechom hayom at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Rashi says, what do you mean the heat of the day that Avram sitting after his bris milah before his three visitors, the angels come? So Rashi says, Hashem, so to speak, took the sun out of its shell. It was super hot. Why? Shelo lahatricho b'orchem. Then he should give Avram a chance to recover without being bothered by guests. And Hashem sees that Avram is in pain. There are no guests. It bothers him. A person who functions out of rachamim, when there are no guests, there's no problem, everything is good in the world. A person who functions out of chesed, there are no guests. This is terrible. I can't express kindness to somebody. That's bothersome. And Avram is the midah of mitzta'er. He's upset, he's pained, he's bothered that there aren't any guests. So Hashem says, I have to send him guests. A person like an Avram Avinu without guests is in pain. I don't want to cause him pain. I'll send him something. That's the difference of chesed and rachamim, which we see also in the trait of Avram, as is often quoted, he would bring in his guests and he would have them bench. But listen to the way the Medrash says it. Vayita eshel b'ver Hashem, source 12. Avram was mekabel, the ovrim, the shavim, the guests, the passers-by, umeshehayu ochlin v'shoysin, and then when they would eat and drink, amrlon brichu, he would say, nu, give thanks, after they would eat and drink. Behein Amrin, my name, or they would say, well, what should we say? If Avram would have said to them, say something when they're starving, they're traveling, they're hungry, they're tired, they would have said, thank you. But now they have everything they need. They're not missing anything. So Hashem says, Avram says to them, "Nu, now you need to give a blessing." They said, "What should we say?" He said, "Baruch kel olam she'achalnu mishalo." You should bless the creator of the world who gave you everything that you need. As it says, Vayikra Shem, b'shem Hashem kel olam. Avraham teaches to give thanks after you have no need. When there's a need, then we need to fill that need. I want you to give thanks to Hashem, Avraham teaches, in a spiritual way. I need nothing. I just internally have a requirement to be able to recognize everything that I have. It's easy to recognize when I'm starving and I'm holding a piece of bread. That's different than when I'm full, which is why, of course, the Torah teaches us to bench after we have everything. When you're full, now recognize. One last point on Avram. Or not only just on Avram, excuse me, on this idea of chesed. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, Gomel Nafsho Ish Chesed. Now the literal translation of this pasuk is Gomel Nafsho Ish Chesed, a person who does kindness. Gomel Nafsho is good for himself. He's doing good things will bring good upon himself by doing kindness. The Medrash darshins this phrase as if he's doing kindness to himself. Zehillel Hazaken. This is a reference to Hillel. After he would give shir, he was busy with his students. He would quickly run out of shir. So Amrlo Talmid, so students would say, "Rabbeinu, lehechan ato holech?" Like you finish giving a shir and you're like running. Where are you going? I need to do chesed with a guest in my house. Okay, so the first day he said that, okay, he has a guest. The second day, the third day, every day? So they said to him, "Kol yom yislach achsanya, every day you have a guest that you're running out of shear to quickly take care of your guests?" Amar lahem, v'hadde nafsha aluvta, my soul, my nefesh, my neshama, lav achsanya ubigoy gufa, is it not a guest in my body? Yoimadeina, hi hocha, today it's here. Limachar, hi hocha, tomorrow it's going to be up in Shemayim. So it's a guest. I'm hosting a guest. My body is hosting my neshama. I need to run home and eat and rest, because just like if I had a guest in my house, wouldn't you take care of your house? Wouldn't you make the beds? Wouldn't you prepare the food? Wouldn't you make sure the air conditioning is set appropriately so that when the guest comes, the environment he's in is good so the guest can do whatever he needs to do? My neshama is a guest. I need to take care of my physical accommodations for my guest, Hillel says. Gomel nafsho. I'm going to be a gomel chesed to my own nefesh and give of myself, take care of myself, to be able to do a chesed together with my neshama. This touches on the last point that I want to just mention on of Avram. The Rosh Hashiva pointed out, part of the midah of Avram in teaching about benching, of being an ish chesed, is even if a person's not realizing what they're missing, I want to give to them, applies in a spiritual realm as well. If a Jew knows somebody who doesn't know about Shabbos, he doesn't know. So a person can say, okay, he doesn't know. What should I do? An ish chesed, an Avram Avinu, saw passers-by who didn't know about the Ribbono Shel Olam. And so they would do whatever they... And he said, how could it be that they're living in a world created by the Ribbono Shel Olam and they're missing out on the greatest thing that the world is for us, which is a connection to Hashem? They don't have it. They're living life and missing the whole point. I have to give... They don't know what they're missing. They don't... They're oblivious. It doesn't matter that they don't know. The ish chesed in the world of the spirit, just like in the world, like you don't have good wine, so you don't know what you're missing. Why do I have to give you good wine? If I'm an ish chesed, I want to give you the best. I don't care that you've never tasted this such good wine before. You don't know what you're missing. You need to have it. The world of the spirit too, the ish chesed, you need to taste the time of Shabbos. You don't know what you're missing, so I don't feel bad for you, but as an ish chesed, I have to give this to you because you need to have the best thing that I could possibly give to you. And that's the gift that Avram bequeathed to all of us. He gave who didn't know good wine, good wine. He gave someone who didn't realize there's a bracha to be made. You can't miss this. This is so good. You don't know what you're missing, so you're not in pain. But I have to share with you the great gift that I have the ability to share. All of this is to say, as follows, as the Rosh Hashiva tied all of this in. According to the Ramban, why did the Geula happen when it happened? The time had come, but we weren't ready. Lo ru'uyin lehigoyel. And it went an additional 30 years, and it would have gone, and it would have gone, and it would have gone. Except we cried, we davened, we were in such pain, in such suffering. Hashem heard our cries. As the Ramban's language is on top of the sheet, on top of your page, end of source 9, Mipnei Hatza'aka, because of our cries, Kibel Tfilosam Birachamav. He accepted our tefillah with rachamim. So that the geula happened, it happened in a context of rachamim. Hashem heard our cries. It's like, enough. They're suffering so much. I can't take it. So that would have meant the entire geula was defined not by a midah of chesed, but by a midah of rachamim of, ay, nebuch. They're out in the rain. It's cold. It's wet. It's freezing. They don't have what they need. They're in such pain. Let me end this suffering, which is a midah of rachamim. Hashem took us out in that moment when we weren't fit. And he adds something, because it shouldn't be that this moment, which is brought about in that rachamim, should be defined by that. Going back to the beginning of our shir, Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, Zochoras hayom hazeh, remember this day that you left. Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh ha'aviv. You're going out in the chodesh ha'aviv. Rashi says, now that needs to be part of the story that we're leaving in the chodesh ha'aviv. What's the relevance? Rashi says, Re'u, look, chesed shegimalchem. Look at the kindness that Hashem did when he took you out. He took you out in the month that's perfect. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's not raining. You don't need snow boots. You don't need rain boots. You don't even need a snowsuit for the... You don't need anything extra water bottle. It's perfect because he loves you. And in a geula that has an element of, I need to stop it now, you're not ready. But because of your tza'aka, because of your tefillah, because of your cries. So how when you're... Let's say, for example, let's go back to our example. A friend calls you and says, I'm making a simcha. Can you host my cousin and their 6 children? They say, sure. So in that moment, it's a moment of rachamim. Like, there's a need. Of course I'm going to say yes. How do you display when you host them that you're not doing this because of rachamim? Nebuch. Like, you have nowhere to go. I feel bad. We all know when we're the recipients of something that's only rachamim. How do you host them to display, it's true, it came into my lap because somebody presented a need and I responded. How do I now show you that I love doing this? That I care about you? I would have done this on my own. I just didn't know. It came to me in rachamim. But how do I display chesed? Well, we all know what that looks like. When they come in, when you go out, it started because of rachamim. But when you show them how happy you are to do this, and you go above and beyond with the little chocolates on their pillows and everything else that you do, and you're up with them early, and you're serving them coffee, and you're there when they come back from the meal at night to make sure to schmooze and everything is okay. You've turned what came into your lap because of rachamim and displayed how much chesed and kindness you want to do to them. When the person's in your car and they're wet and you're grumbling, oh, you live over there? That's where you were going. Okay, so you did an act of rachamim. You got them to where they got. They're not cold. We all know what it looks like in the car, how to turn that into an act of chesed. Yes, it came into my lap through rachamim. We know how to turn it into chesed. Hashem says, your cries, your tefillah, kickstarted this geula when you weren't ra'i. You weren't fit. How do I now say, it's time to take you out, that I'm going to do it in a way that expresses that love? Re'u chesed shegimalchem. Look at the kindness that he did, that he chose the time that was absolutely perfect. You wouldn't have cared if it was cold or wet or snowy, because it's freedom. But he did it in a way that you felt, that's now I'm taking you out, you're mine. And it's going to be filled with that kindness. The geula will always have that. And when we tell the story and we say all of the psukim, as the Ramban quoted, that he saw our cries and he heard, and we also say Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh ha'aviv. Always remember that you left in the chodesh ha'aviv, in the month that was absolutely perfect to be able to do so. That is part of the story of the redemption that we have to say, because the reality was we weren't right. Atar yom v'yeh, we were naked and bare. And Hashem takes us out in a display of love and chesed together with that always. That is part of our story. I leave you with that thought and wish you all a wonderful evening.